What's going on, everybody? You're listening to the Day Tripper Podcast. This is episode 63. We're in February of 2018, and we are talking Texas. Lots to talk about today. We are in a national state of crisis here in the Lone Star State because one of our beloved, most beloved brands might have gone Yankee, which is bad news. The Girl Scouts have gone boozy, evidently, and well, Texas music ain't exactly what you thought it was. Way more than just the country, and we're going to be talking about that too. Let's hit it. All right, guys, so I'm Chet Garner. Welcome to the Day Tripper Podcast. Joining me, as always, Mr. Todd White, my
howdy
co-host.
Howdy, folks. Howdy, howdy.
And it says special guest Lindsay Tutt. We should probably just wipe that off.
She's not what special, and she's not a guest.
Is she still?
Just kidding.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
But as long as we have special guests, we can consider it's like an audition.
Oh, like, I passed like the audition.
No. That's what I'm saying. As soon as we take special guests off, then she's going to get like all these entitlement issues about like her being on the podcast. Like,
I think she deserves it.
We still... Oh, Todd, you've got to be with me on
she
this.
She puts up with us.
She does.
Thank you, Todd. Thank you.
Lindsay's great. She's awesome on the podcast. But if we take special guests off, she's going to think that she's not still trying out. I'm worried she's going to get too comfortable.
Okay, let's keep it special.
Never. I mean, I could still be special, just not a guest. I'm still special.
And joining me, special, Lindsay Tutt.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah. All right. So our sponsor today is the city of Georgetown, Texas. Let's see. You know, Georgetown, we're past the holidays, but man, Georgetown is continuing to explode with things to do. Newsflash, I was talking to three millennial models, right? And Todd, you set us up with this. They were helping us on a shoot. And all three of them said, I can't wait to move to Georgetown.
What?
I know. I was like,
what?
When has that ever been said?
I started that movement. That was me.
Lindsay was the first.
I'm finding
the
more
first
and more
millennial
local,
in Georgetown.
More and more local college or graduating high school seniors are actually considering staying in Georgetown while they're in college.
Oh, wow.
Either going to Southwestern or going to one of the Southwest Texas, no, Texas State branches that are over off of 1431 area. Yeah.
I know some people who commute to Mary Hardin Baylor. You know, that's
no
only 30
way.
Minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, is it 30 minutes there, 30 minutes UT? You could do it.
Worth it because Georgetown is continuously cute. Like, it is like the cutest town ever.
And if I have to choose 30 minutes, I'd rather drive 30 minutes north and
then
go
30
south.
South. I'm with you on that one. All right. So, y'all find more. Visit georgetown.org. Yeah. You come up here, spend the night, spend a weekend, whatever you want to do. And speaking of spending the night, this is what I want to talk about. Y'all know I was a Boy Scout growing up and loved Scouts. Scouts gives you all these amazing opportunities. Well, I got to go and spend the night on the USS Lexington, which is the big aircraft carrier in Corpus Christi. So me, my son, about 30 people from our little pack, and then all these other troops, Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts were down there, walked on to a World War II aircraft carrier, ate dinner in the mess hall, slept on the little tiny sardine can bunk beds that the soldiers...
Did you get true mess hall food?
We pretty close. Yeah.
Like
not,
SOS?
I mean, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. It was actually pretty good. We had a cheeseburger, and then the morning was like eggs and biscuits, typical stuff. But what was awesome was spending the night in sort of a legendary Texas place.
Was it haunted?
Yeah, was it spooky? Yeah. That's what I'm wondering.
Well, one of the coolest parts was right before bedtime, they turned all the lights off and told us ghost stories. And then we're like, all right, guys.
Oh, lovely.
Go to bed.
Awesome.
I know. And man, it was fun, too. It was like you're sitting there at, you know, there are no more tourists. All the tourists have left, and it's after hours. And it's just awesome.
Was it comfy? Could you sleep?
Yeah. I mean, like, don't sit up in bed. You're like... hit your head. You had enough to sleep sideways. Like, you know, get in like a sardine can. But those dudes, those soldiers during World War II, I mean, they would go out to sea for months and sleep in that every night, which I can't even imagine.
That's like taking Night at the Museum to a whole different level.
Oh, yeah.
Because
now it is a floating museum. Mm-hmm. All the decks are full of stuff. They sent us on a scavenger hunt. At night, like you had to run through all the tours.
Oh, that's fun.
It was really cool. But then coming home, we went back through Goliad, which is the Presidio La Bahia, where the Goliad massacre happened.
It was another one of your famous overnight stays.
It was that was awesome. You can spend the night, you can rent the officers' quarters inside of the old fort, Well, the Boy Scouts the night before had been spending the night there, and that's got a big old courtyard, and so they go out and they stay in the courtyard and tent camp. But then there's also a couple bunks they can go and stay in. But the neatest thing, it got me thinking, I was like, man, you could stay on the Lexington. You could stay in the Presidio La Bahia. I've stayed in a historic fort in San Angelo.
I was just going to mention
San
Angelo.
I started to do my little punch list of like, okay, if I could spend the night anywhere, where would it be? Like,
do you remember the crew abandoned you on that night?
Oh, yeah, y'all totally did, man. I was there all by myself. And that tale is recapped well in our ghost stories episode. You can dig back. Some October, we talked about it. But like,
I don't know how you did that.
I didn't sleep a wink that night. Slept with every light on in that old fort. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was bad. But okay, so I was thinking like, okay, where would I like to spend the night besides just my comfy bed? And I'm not talking about like a cush bed and breakfast or whatever, but like, where would it be cool for you to spend the night? I was thinking like, okay, what about at an aquarium? Like, sleeping there with the tanks all around you. Because they do overnights at the Texas State Aquarium. I think they may even do them at Moody Gardens.
That would be cool. That would be so fun.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, that would be really cool.
So you could like sleeping bag it in that tube thing where they have the aquarium surrounding you.
Yeah, with the sharks swimming over.
That would be awesome.
They let you. They
that
let
would
you.
Be amazing.
Yeah, you sleep. You know, and I don't know if they turn the lights off in the tanks or if the lights stay on with that blue.
That would be so cool.
You wake up in the middle of the night like, I'm drowning. I'm drowning. I think. What about you, Lindsay? What would be like a dream?
No, I think it would be really cool. This is really random, but like that back courtyard at the Alamo.
Oh,
like it's so pretty, and there's like all the lights around you. I mean, it might be kind of spooky, but I think that that's something that'd be really cool.
Yeah, I would do it. Todd was shaking his head like, I'm with you on Alamo.
That'd be cool.
No, it's funny because I was thinking of in the Alamo in the chapel would be fun too.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that'd be another level, man. That'd be next.
That'd be really cool.
Mm-hmm. That thing is such a sacred place. They probably wouldn't let anybody
sleep
in there.
Oh, no, they wouldn't
let
you do that.
You know, Battleship Texas down in San Jacinto Monument, that's an old World War I and World War II battleship. And the scouts will go and they sleep on the deck. So, like, under the stars.
That's cool.
With all the mosquitoes.
Yeah, no. No, thank you.
Like, what if you slept, like, underneath the dinosaur bones at the Perot Museum?
Yes.
How cool would that be?
Or like, don't they have like one of those rooms that has like stars?
Yes.
That'd be cool.
Oh, the planetarium. Let's just sleep.
That's what that's called. Right.
Planetarium Crasher. That's our next show. And we just sleep in planetariums. Very boring TV because I'm just sleeping the whole time. But
we'd enjoy it.
Exciting for me.
Yeah.
And for all the pit lovers, how about sleeping in the pit room?
Oh, man. Franklin's.
Night tripper. I can see it now.
You roll into the firebox in the middle of the night. That wouldn't go very well.
Anyway.
Man, Todd, you slept, you know, like a lot of people dream of sleeping at the Devil's River. Like you did that. Slept on those rocks with us. Well, you didn't really sleep. That's a very loose use of the term.
I don't think I dream of sleeping there. I'm with Todd.
Have y'all ever meadow
glamping?
Crashed? And we say meadow crash, like slept outside under the stars.
I have no tent. I have.
Yes,
before.
I have.
When I
you
was
have?
Way younger.
Yes.
And like, wah, lame? Y'all were like, never again.
It was not my favorite night. I don't think I slept at all.
When was this?
It was not in Texas, so am I allowed to talk about it? Because we're talking Texas. It was in Missouri at a camp, and it was one night we slept. I was a counselor. One night we slept outside, so like, I was a counselor. I didn't get a tent. I had to sleep on like a sleeping bag in the middle of the woods, and I was just like, oh my gosh, it was bad.
That is awesome. That's
I'm going to go with Lindsay on the famous term of glamping. I would prefer
Yes.
You prefer glamping.
Yes, I would. Very much so.
Glamping is the best.
I've meadow crashed a lot. And if you have a cot that kind of raises you off the ground so you don't kind of think about ants crawling on you, they're not going to crawl up the cot.
A snake can still get you.
Magical. Nah, snakes won't crawl up a cot. They'll go right underneath you.
And then
you don't even know they're there.
And then if you move, they'll like bite you. No. Anyway.
All right. So that was just what had me thinking. Texas got a lot of opportunities. A lot of them are only open to scouts, which I think is a shame, but it's a plug for the Boy Scouts. Put your kids in scouts. It's pretty awesome. All right, guys. So what y'all been up to since last time we chatted? I mentioned the Lexington, so I technically went first. Lindsay,
okay.
What about you?
So I went to a hot sauce festival a few weeks ago, and it was lit, pun intended.
Lit.
It was lit. Okay. It was like so great.
Wait a minute. Do that again.
What?
It was lit.
It was lit. Yeah. It was lit.
Wow.
Awesome.
So backstory, my dad is a pepperhead, chili head, whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
And so I got him tickets to Zest Fest in Irving for Christmas. So he and I went to that a few weeks ago. And it's basically, I mean, it's like every Texan's dream. It is like a giant convention center room full of hot sauce and salsa samples from different companies, like from around the United States.
Was our buddy there?
Yes. Mike was there. Mikey V's.
And won something big, I think.
Yeah, he won two awards, and one of the awards was for his beer bacon salsa.
Oh, dude, that stuff's so good.
It's so good. Oh, gosh. So
I get
good.
The scoop chips for that one.
Oh, yeah.
It's dangerously good.
You get a straw for that one, man. Okay, so these are all vendors like Mikey V.
Yes.
Y'all haven't been to Mikey V's hot sauce shop on the square, but it's awesome. We work right behind it. Oh, that's not public knowledge.
Forget that.
Never mind. Forget you ever heard that. No, it's pretty much the worst kept secret in Georgetown.
It really is.
Who else would pay an armadillo jackalope thing on the back wall?
That's true.
Every true Texan. I mean, come on.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Okay, so it's mostly just booths with different people who make their own hot sauce. Like, some are mom and pop, some have good stores.
Most of them were mom and pop, actually.
Okay.
Most of them were. And, like, it was kind of funny because it was, like, a wine tasting or, like, a beer flight. You would, like, go up to these booths and they would be like, all right. So they'd have their line of hot sauce and they'd be like, it goes from mild to wild. So just, like, let's go. So you'd start trying up the scale. And whenever I tapped out, my dad would, like, tap in and go. Yeah, I was like, your turn, go.
Did you carry a canteen of milk, like, with you?
Like, it was, like, the 5 minutes in, we had tried, like, three samples. And I already had, like, my eyes were watering and my nose was running and I, like, couldn't breathe. So I was like, just a second, Dad. I, like, run to the concession stand and I, like, get water and, like, stuff my purse and my pockets full of napkins. And I'm like, I'm good. Let's go. I got this. Put me back in, coach.
Then they did have milk booths
that were like, $2 milk right here. Because they have, like, hardcore stuff.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
If you eat those spicy peppers, the only relief you get is by holding milk in your mouth.
Yeah.
It doesn't really, once you swallow it, it doesn't help
No,
anymore,
it, like, burns in your throat, makes your tongue swell.
Oh.
So it was great.
Did you discover a new one that, like, you loved?
Yeah, and I was going to say, it was funny because it wasn't just hot sauce. They had some weird, weird things. So they had, like, habanero-infused tequila and whiskey.
That's kind of cool.
I tried a pumpkin spice jalapeno.
And I'm here to say that it is not great.
It is not good.
Wait, was it a pumpkin spice jalapeno latte? Or was it, like,
no,
just a jalapeno?
No, so it was like a booth, and they had
one of the most disgusting things.
They had candied jalapenos.
That sounds almost as bad as fried beer.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, a fried beer was not great.
That sounds worse.
Not good.
But that sounds worse.
They had candied jalapenos, like, different kinds. And so I was like,
candied jalapenos.
Yeah, I was that like, works. You know, we just tried a booth that had, like, really good, like, a Cabernet candied jalapeno, and it was great. So I go here, and they're like, here, we've got pumpkin spice. And I was like, I love all things pumpkin spice. Like, I'm someone who roots.
You're that person who's
for the,
like,
yes.
Hashtag PSL.
The PSL, everything. I'm for it. But guess what? Jalapenos do not need the pumpkin spice. It was awful.
Okay, did they start with a fresh jalapeno or a pickled jalapeno? Could you tell?
Well, it should have been pickled and, like, more candied. But it was basically just, like, a pickled jalapeno that, like, had syrup of pumpkin spice on it.
Oh, that's awful.
So, I mean, it was not great. Oh. But other things there were great. Just not that.
Oh, that sounds... I've never been to one of these. And like that,
I've got to go. It's literally like you spend the entire day eating chips and salsa for free.
Which, mucho respect to Lindsay. She likes the spice. You can handle the spice.
I could go up to about a ghost pepper. That's like the very, very highest of my threshold.
Like a reduced amount of ghost pepper. If it's got a little ghost pepper
in it, I've gotten better.
Yeah.
But especially after that day, dear goodness.
Most people cash out at green peppers. So, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but my dad will chop up Reaper and put on his eggs and he just like is fine. And I'm like straight Reaper pepper.
His mouth is broken. I told him he has no taste.
Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah.
My dad has no taste.
Mikey V's mouth is broken.
Mikey's is broken.
Those people that do that, their mouths are broken.
Pepperheads. Gotta love them.
That's cool. Todd, what about you, man?
So I've had two couple two couple of. That's just kind of random. I had two fun two, things I worked on over the
two couples.
Past month.
Two that four anyway, things. Two anyway, couple
so I worked on a project with Hershey's Chocolate and Austin Foodstagram. So that was fun.
Whoa, what'd you do?
Oh my gosh, I love chocolate.
They wanted to promote their new candy bar, which is like a Hershey Gold, which has like caramel and pretzels.
Reminds
and
me
the
of
oh, I've
golden
seen that.
Ticket.
So,
did you
exactly.
just run around and sing that?
Exactly.
Wait,
so
okay, wait, back up. Hershey Gold is mm-hmm. chocolate with what?
And it has like some caramel and pretzels oh. are in it. So it's just sort of take a different approach it's to the.
Does it actually
approach.
Look gold? Does
it is actually it is actually gold. A gold color, like
whoa.
as in you know a golden color, not gold, shiny gold.
Okay,
like a matte gold color.
Like maybe they started with a whiter chocolate and kind of.
It's like a matte gold. It's not like a shiny gold.
Exactly.
Very important.
I'm gonna need to sample this. I'm gonna need to.
Did you bring
this.
Samples, yeah. Todd?
You probably need to. And they were good. They were really good. But the video was all about making s'mores with this new chocolate.
Ooh.
And so
I love
it was a
s'mores.
Very nostalgic approach to it about, ooh. I remember my first Hershey's bar.
Oh, my gosh.
Campfire, s'mores, and
uh-huh.
so on. And then moving into, but now, that was then, and this is now, and things have changed.
Changed.
So it was
basic
a,
chocolate's
it was a 1 minute.
Not good enough for anybody anymore.
It was a 1 minute Instagram video
oh, that's cool.
that we did.
Cool.
So,
we so you
out.
Shot
wait,
it, edited
so most importantly,
so,
how did the s'more taste with the gold Hershey.
Yeah, that's
did you get
question.
To try any?
It's a great
it
question.
Was really good. I got to try some. I will be honest. I am not a s'mores fan. Don't throw stuff at me.
Shut your mouth.
I like just good old plain chocolate. Dropping marshmallow and all that in, this doesn't excite
doesn't
me at all.
Doesn't do it for you. Doesn't
now,
do it for you.
I will say this.
That's
marshmallow
kind of
cream.
I live for s'mores.
I think now Lindsay's co-host Todd is special guest. Special guest Todd White. I think we're flopping here. This s'more comment has got
dun,
me worried.
Dun, dun. I live
no,
for
I'm
s'mores.
No, I'm just kidding. Todd, but, I love you. You do have some things, though, that be like, oh, Todd's got to love that. You don't.
No.
You got, like, there are a handful of things, like, you just not you're not doing them. Like, that doesn't do
yeah,
it for me.
S'mores does not excite me, but I will take marshmallow cream and put that with peanut butter on toasted bread, and it is amazing.
Okay. All right.
So,
okay. All right.
Random things.
Just
so that was,
why are we not putting peanut butter on s'mores yet as a country?
That's a good idea.
I mean, you can, well, I feel like you can do anything with a s'more.
You can.
You just
yeah.
have to be the creative one.
Okay.
I mean, I've done s'mores well, with Peeps.
There's s'more you
Come
can
on.
Do with s'mores.
Leftover Peeps, that's what
more
they're there
s'more,
for.
S'more. Okay. Yeah, maybe I've put s'more in this little box. It's graham cracker, Hershey, marshmallow. Done.
You're 2000 and late.
Oh.
You need to, like, catch up on the s'more game.
She has got all kinds
You're
of stuff going on.
You're that, that
so
song.
2008.
I'm so 2000 and late. I'm like, dude, you have just made a song that is going to be not cool next year. Like, 1 year. When you put the year in the
yeah,
song,
I know. They,
it becomes,
they really box
like,
themselves
old
in.
Instantly. Like, Ruben stuttered. I'm sorry for 2004. Like, are we still singing about how you screwed up in 2004? Like,
I mean, if
we,
it was a really bad year, I feel like you could sing
that
every year.
And think
year.
About Prince in 1999.
1999. Yeah, that's true. That was a pretty iconic year, though, Todd. Was it a good year for you, 99?
Sure.
Yeah.
I was seven.
We thought the world was, oh,
we
wow,
did
that's,
think,
that's,
wow.
Yeah, that's,
oh
Jesus,
my God.
Goodness.
Yeah. All right. So my other thing
anyway,
that
he's Am making
I...
s'mores. Wait, and we can see the video on Austin Foodstagram?
Yes, you can.
It's up now?
Huh?
Cool. All right,
yep.
sweet. I gotta go
yep.
check, it
check
out.
That out.
And last thing I did is I had a random phone call from somebody out of Wisconsin that is an author who is working on profiling some a stage play with the famous Ice Bowl that happened.
Back oh, okay.
in the 60s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So part of my assignment, they called me, and I needed to go spend a morning with Bob Lilly.
Oh, cool.
So I went to Bob Lilly's house here in Georgetown and did some video filming with him and interviewing to capture all these memories down for this guy's project.
Cool.
Out of Wisconsin.
Oh, that's
cool.
So cool.
So tell people again, like, a lot of people don't know who Bob Lilly is.
So Bob Lilly is a former Dallas Cowboy, and he's also a legend in the Hall of Fame.
Legend.
Legend, yeah, big
Absolutely.
Time.
Wow, that's awesome.
He's back in the original Cowboy days with the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Landry coach and all that.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
He's part of that crew.
That's awesome. He's around a lot, but I've never met him.
Yeah.
I've never gotten to meet him here.
Super chill, super nice guy.
Is he really?
Of course, I felt really, really short, but you know.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Wait, how tall is he?
I don't know, but taller than me.
Yeah, which, you know, but like Bob, he's in his day, he was big. So I bet he's like 6'4".
Wow.
But which now 6'4" for an NFL player would be tall, but not crazy tall. Those players have just gotten so much bigger,
mm-hmm.
so much bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still a big dude.
Yeah.
Still a very big dude. All right. Cool. Well, I mentioned sleeping on the Lexington. Another thing that I got to do last month, we got a lot of projects in the works with Best Western. So I went to Phoenix, played golf for the first time in literally, I think it was five years.
And how far into the hundreds did you go?
Oh, we stopped counting. we were so slow because I was with a group of people who were also not great golfers. And so the marshal kept coming up. Hey, hurry along. Hey, we're going to skip the next hole. You can come back and play it later. So we were getting rushed. Didn't end up playing 18 holes. But awesome. it was fun. There was one girl who's also working with Best Western. She's a pro golfer. Luckily, I didn't get put on her team because she was just dominating.
Oh, you got lucky there.
Yeah, right? Super, super lucky.
That would have been kind of sad.
Yeah. A real bummer.
To say the least. And then we're back on the road filming. Last month, we went and did Bandera. Bandera, the cowboy capital of the world.
Yippee-ki-yay.
So I rode a horse. What else did I do? I got shot by some cowboys. We got this was awesome. We got the Bandera gunfighters out and had a shootout with each other back behind the visitor center.
Oh, that's cool.
It was rad. It was rad.
Did it almost draw as much tension as whenever you and I were running down the streets of Round Rock trying to reenact the shootout?
No, okay. I love that scene.
That scene is good. But these guns actually went bang, loud.
Okay.
So I couldn't hear it in my radio for a day.
I mean, they're probably used to it in Bandera. It's the cowboy capital.
Yeah, more gunshots. Somebody bring the wagon around. Got to pick up the dead guy from the
casual
curb.
Day in Bandera.
Get a box. Yep. Yeah, right. Call the Undertaker. All right, guys. Well, while we've been doing stuff, Tex has been busy too.
While you've been listening to this podcast, lots of stuff's been going on in the Lone Star State. This is Meanwhile in Texas.
All right, guys, I'll go first. I'll go first on this. So the Grammys were on this week, actually, on Monday. We're filming this. We're recording this on February 1st.
Yawn.
Right? Okay. Maybe it's I'm not as cool as I once was, but I don't know a lot of these artists, and I still listen to pop radio when we're on the road. These guys are not on the radio,
I don't know where you go to listen to
Jay-Z's album or Kendrick Lamar's album or who plays Childish Gambino other than that one Redbone song. Anyway, it was very hip-hop heavy.
Yeah.
But I started thinking, hey, I wonder how many Texans are in this. And we had quite a few. Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah.
From Texas, from the Fort Worth area.
Burleson.
Maren Morris, the girl, she's a country singer. She performed this year.
Oh, cool.
She sings, "Yeah, that's my church." She won last year. This year,
Chet,
she just was nominated.
Chet.
Yo.
Keep the job as a host.
This is my church. Y'all know who Maren Morris is.
Please duck All that right. part when you were...
But actually keep it in.
Beyonce wasn't nominated. I'm trying to think of some other people. Oh, but this got me going, okay? And y'all know the Grammys are deep. It's not just like the people you see on TV. Like the Grammys go on for days afterwards.
Right.
But this year, the only Texans to win were from UNT's, University of North Texas, music department.
No way.
And so I started looking going man, this music department is insane. So people don't know this, that UNT, the Mean Green, Denton, Texas, has one of the most prestigious music departments in the country. You're talking Juilliard, NYU, and they're on that small list. Texans don't quite know that they're there. So I started looking. Here were the winners. Three people won. Faculty and alumni, three Grammys. They had a total of 10 nominations this year.
Wow.
All in the jazz. Wow. Brings a total number of wins for the UNT Music Department to 111. That music department has 111 Grammys.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay, so alumnus Edward Stefan is a member of the Pittsburgh Orchestra. They won for Best Engineered Classical Album and Best Orchestral Performance.
Sounds classy.
You're jamming the Pittsburgh Orchestra right now in your car, aren't you?
Who?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's on Lindsay's workout list. Yeah, that's on your workout list.
I like to be classy.
Throw on some Zumba and get the Pittsburgh Orchestra.
I love doing Zumba to the Pittsburgh Orchestra. It really gets me there. Really gets the burn.
Oh, yeah. Hits the hammies and the glutes hard, you know. Every time you hear that timpani, you squat it. I don't know what I'm talking about.
You twerk, yeah.
So alumnus Frank Green, lead trumpet for the Christian McBride Big Band, Best Large Jazz Ensemble. So I was like, man, You know, I've heard UNT is prestigious, and if you look at watch our Denton episode, we did a bunch of silly things about all the people who came from Denton in the music world or had a strong connection to Denton. I mean, the list is Don Henley, kind of frontman for the Eagles, Roy Orbison, Pretty Woman, like Norah Jones went to UNT, so she's probably got 100 of those 111 Grammys. That girl cleans house every time. And then, Sly and the Family Stone was from there. Meatloaf. Like, all kinds of people. But now there's, I think it's Snarky Puppy. There's a bunch of bands.
My favorite kind of puppy.
Yeah.
Snarky Puppy?
It's jazz, man. And if you're not in those circles, you don't know these people.
Wait, Snarky Puppy is a jazz band?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
I believe
that
so.
That's probably
that
worth Googling.
That sounds like a rap band.
That's what I'm thinking.
It's like a...
Or like Screamo?
I might be wrong on that, but there is a famous jazz. There's a famous. Oh gosh, man, I can't even remember their name. But they
actually,
been,
you're right. It is.
Yeah,
they're a jazz and funk collective, and their new album is called Kulcha Vulcha Cha.
Funky.
Yeah, I'm playing that right now on my.
Yeah,
I'm not listening to this podcast. I've got my earbuds in. I'm just listening to Fulka Kunka Chikapa.
Something. Yeah.
Wow. All right. Anyway, I thought it was really cool. I looked, it is in the top 10 strongly as far as total wins with everybody. I forget what number they came in, but UNT, Juilliard, all those kind of places are all lumped together. So, go Mean Green.
That's amazing.
I thought that was kind of cool. We didn't have any other Texas Grammy artists to celebrate, but we can celebrate the Pittsburgh Orchestra and the Christian McBride Big Band, guys. I guess they're not based in Texas anymore, but...
They're from Texas.
They've got strong Texas ties, we'll say. All right. Hit me. What else? Meanwhile in Texas, what you got, Lindsay?
Okay, guys. Okay. So, you know, it's Girl Scout cookie season, and you're probably trying to hide from them, but...
They're everywhere.
Now, you can drink alcoholic Girl Scout cookies.
What?
Okay, that.
Hold on.
The Girl Scouts are just a front. It's a mafia. They're selling the booze of their leaders on the street.
The Girl Scout bootleggers.
I knew it.
No. I was a Girl Scout, by the way. So at this brewery in Bryan called Blackwater Draw Brewing Company, they have made 3 craft beers based off of the lemonades, the caramel delights, and the thin mints.
Holy moly. Thin mint beer. I've never had mint beer.
That sounds disgusting. Because we're moving into sour beer territory not good.
But can you, I think a lemonade could be good. Like a nice...
You know, I've had some nice lemon Hefeweizens kind of thing with some lemon stuff. That sounds
nice. Yeah, like Wrench Brewery does their Hef, and they also had the Lala Lemonade on tap as well. And they mix that together, and it's really good.
That's tasty.
It's a really good summer beer.
Yep.
So, the thin mint thing, I can't get over.
I don't know.
What else did you say?
They've got a lemonade-inspired... Kolsch?
Okay. You know what? Blackwater Draw, I've had their Kolsch. It's a phenomenal beer.
Yes.
Okay.
That's a beer.
When we went to Bryan College Station, they gave me a 6-pack of Blackwater Draw's Kolsch, and it's really delicious.
Okay. So now they've got the lemonade
version.
One.
I could get behind that. And then the Caramel Delight.
Caramel Delight.
What kind of beer is that?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what that could do. Like, could that go in a stout? That could be all right.
Yeah,
you already get chocolate stouts.
Yeah, I think you get coffee.
Yeah,
you know, I think you could see a
or
caramel
a porter.
In there.
It's got to be dark.
I'm
thinking so. And then there's the thin mint.
I'm gonna lean towards the stouts.
Thin mint. You give me a thin mint chocolate stout. Maybe
it could be really refreshing.
Mint's gonna throw you off.
I don't know, man.
I can't deal with the mint.
The only thing we have to settle this. Look, let's go to College Station right now.
We're leaving right now.
Yep, it's happening.
And they sell Girl Scout cookies there, so you can pair them. That's the dream.
I can dip a cookie in my beer while I'm eating.
Oh, man.
Hey, if I have to drink beer, I'd like to dip cookies in it. Thank you.
Yeah. Who needs milk, right? Let's just dip it in the beer.
Straight
hey, that reminds me of another thing I did last month, which was amazing. I went to Brix & Ale, which is here in our Sheraton. They had a whiskey pairing dinner, and they invited Balcones Distillery from Waco down.
Oh, good distillery.
It was like 5 or 6 courses with 5 or 6 mixed drinks. The food had whiskey in it somehow, and the whiskey came like in a cocktail on the side.
Oh, that's so cool.
I'm talking, the food was off the charts. Brix & Ale has a new chef that he started in October.
Really?
Some of the best food I've had ever. Like one was a, it was all kind of weird. If you read the menu, you're like, what?
What was the coolest thing you had?
Okay, I'll give you two. One was a blue cheese cream sauce escargot. I mean,
oh, right. Fancy.
That's Snell's, folks.
Escargot
it was all
good.
Fancy.
Yep.
The pork belly had been marinating in Dr. Pepper and whiskey for like 3 days.
Okay.
It was amazing. So a slice of pork belly. Another one was a beef tartare from 44 Farms. So raw beef. You had a little quail egg you put on top, and you eat it on crackers with mustard.
Oh, that's good.
So
oh,
fancy.
So but
did
good.
They, but was, did they drizzle? Was, did they drizzle that with whiskey?
And the whiskey was somewhere in it, but I couldn't tell you where.
It should have been really good.
It was usually in the glazes.
What did you have for dessert, though?
Okay, the dessert.
Dessert?
Dessert.
He's getting fancy
was like
now.
A chocolate mousse with a like a pecan graham crackery crust thing.
Done. That sold me.
I would go every weekend if they kept having that thing. It was awesome. It was awesome. So there's a little plug for our local restaurant, but that's neither here nor there. I got to go try these Girl Scout cookies.
Bryan College Station. Yeah, yeah.
Do you want to do your other one?
So badly.
Well, let's go.
She can do her. She can back it up.
Lindsay had two. I was just talking to her off air. Off air. I leaned over. Ty, what do you got, man?
All right. So we have a traitor in the midst. It is not good.
Uh-oh.
Texas has an emergency. One of our beloved, founded in Waco in 1885 with a secret recipe, which to keep it secret was split in half and kept in two different safes.
That's awesome.
In Dallas.
Wow.
In different banks.
That's amazing.
That is awesome.
Has been bottled for decades in Dublin. And now Dr. Pepper has been sold to the Yankees.
Oh.
No, this is a travesty.
We have an issue.
What happened?
Dr. Pepper, I guess, decided they needed to sort of shore up the funding on this deal.
Man.
And so a coffee company, Keurig, the fancy little coffee pods, which I do
Am
not
I getting
like.
Cake up Dr. Pepper?
Right? Whoa.
I hope not.
That should be.
Keurig is just not good. But
That's
anyway.
Illegal.
Yeah, it should be.
Keurig Green Mountain, the source of our K-Cups, purchased Dr. Pepper.
Okay,
that's what they're changing the name to.
Here's the reason.
That's what they're changing
well, here's
the name
the deal.
To.
The reason that's why like, I'm getting a little bit confused on that, too, is because I'm reading this, and Dr. Pepper is actually owned by and paired up with Snapple.
Yes.
So Snapple. So it's officially called Dr. Pepper Snapple.
That's the corporate company, which
yes.
They bought Dr. Pepper a few years ago.
Yeah. So that has been purchased for $18.7 billion.
Oh, with a B?
B. So $18.7 billion, Dr. Pepper sold its soul to the Yankees. So the headquarters will actually still be here as far as the bottling and producing and things like that. But their corporate owner has now been shifted to Massachusetts.
It's not the same.
It's not the same.
But the big deal, the big draw, of course, is the new merger now will create a brand new company called Keurig Dr. Pepper that will generate about $11 billion in annual revenue.
That should be illegal. They should not make a K-Cup version
like,
of that.
I mean, we've got like hundreds of constitutional amendments. I feel like we could make this happen.
We really need
like
to.
Just no, Dr. Pepper cannot be sold to an out of state. You have to move to Texas to be able to buy
yes.
Dr. Pepper. There's a residency requirement.
You can't now, be a Pepper unless you're a Texan.
Yeah. I will say this. I personally, Dr. Pepper is number
oh,
two.
This
number
is,
two.
This is another thing. This no marshmallows and then this.
No, what
Dr.
is he? Let
Pepper
him finish.
Is number two for this me. Is,
what's number
I
one?
I actually think I love Mr. Pip.
No, it's
Todd!
I can't even.
No.
Oh.
So for me and my soft drink choices, Mr.
Oh,
Pibb always wins.
Even.
Dr. Pepper's a nice backup.
Way to just stomp on our already broken hearts, Todd.
I know.
Oh.
But it's sad to say this is purely a money grab. This is all this is about.
Yeah, I don't know why they need the funding, but God.
Because Dr. Pepper right now makes about $6.4 billion per year.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But they're going to be pushing to $11 billion. And that's still small potatoes, but obviously it's up significantly.
Compared to
like Coca-Cola, which is like $41.9 billion.
Oh, wow. I didn't know they were that smaller of a player.
They are.
Man, I love me some Dr. Pepper.
But if it's any help for anybody, they are in good company because you've got your K K-Cups, which I don't like, but still, people love Keurig. And it's also the parent company now is the same group that owns Krispy Kreme.
Ooh, Dr. Pepper flavored donuts. That's where we're heading.
Oh, now, have you had Dr. Pepper pound cake? It's like mostly kind of in the glaze, but it's got that good cherry vanilla flavor.
Oh, I've had Dr. Pepper chocolate cake.
Yes, Dr. Pepper chocolate cake is good too. Dr. Pepper pound cake. Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, there you go. National state of crisis. One of our beloveds has gone north.
You know, this does hit me in the gut, but
it's rough.
Also, like, but the Snapple partnership that happened a few years ago with
the Snapper.
We can't talk today.
Dr. Pebble Snapper. Dr. Pebble Snapper. I think Dr. Pebble is like one of those that sold at the gas station right next to Dr. Thunder and
Dr. Pebble. I think the Flintstones drank it.
yeah. Why not?
Anyway.
Oh, man. But like, so they shut down the Dublin bottling plant, like, you know, whatever. They sued them and that whole fallout. Whatever. I still like Dr. Pepper. It's one of our heritage brands, but sad to see that it's not one of our like.
They
core
drank
brands
it
now.
When they signed the Texas Declaration of Independence. It was there. Yeah.
It was there.
Let me see. off by a few years, but yeah, we'll call it that.
Texas magic.
Yeah. That's right. All right, Lindsay, you had one more you wanted to share.
Yeah.
You're dying to get this one out, aren't you?
This is like sad, but you know, I was excited. I'm sad. Okay, y'all remember Blockbuster, right?
Ooh,
I do.
I worked for Blockbuster for the whole summer.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Always located next to an HEB.
Yeah. We always went every Friday night when I was growing up.
Oh, yeah.
So they basically, I thought they had all shut down in 2008.
Yeah.
Yep. They filed bankruptcy, all that.
Mm-hmm. But there was one location left in Texas, in Edinburgh.
What?
Down in the Brownsville area.
What?
And it closed at the end of January.
No!
Yeah.
I didn't know there was
one there.
One holdout?
And it was one of, I think there's only six left in the country. Yeah.
So there are still some open?
There are still some open, but only one is most of them are in Alaska.
Okay.
One is in Oregon, and one was in Texas, and it shut down, and they had a big going out sale, and so people from all over the state went and bought their favorite.
Bought copies of Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
And
just to have them in the plastic case with Blockbuster label on it.
Oh, man.
Right? Who knew that for 10 years, there was one in Edinburgh, chilling.
I really would have made a trip just to see the Blockbuster.
I know. Are you
serious?
Too late.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I worked for Blockbuster, and to Lindsay's point, visiting a movie store was a ordeal.
It wasn't
just, we're on the couch. What do you want to watch? Let's scroll to it, and it plays instantly. It's like you could tack on a good 2 extra hours to your night, fill up the whole night with, let's go rent a movie. You got to get the car.
Yeah, you get the pizza because it was next to a Papa John's. Yeah, and then you would get the pizza, go over there, pick out your movie, get your pizza.
The funnest part was browsing the aisles with your friends. Have you seen this? Oh, this is awesome. Have you seen this? Oh, this is awesome. Now let's walk through the 1970s movies and make fun of the packages. You know,
Watching random movies you never would have found.
Yeah. I didn't know there was a Rambo 8. Oh, I haven't, it was fun.
And we used to get our deck of cards of all the movies we want to watch, and you kind of fan them out and get the pick.
Yes.
Yep. I mean, and working for Blockbuster was fun because you just were around movies. You talked movies all day. It was
You talked to movies all
talked
day?
Talked to movies, yeah. They didn't talk back. It was very lonely at Blockbuster.
Oh, that's
back.
Chet. He likes
they
to go back there and talk to
the front
to
of the
movies.
House. I was in the back filing movies. No, it was good stuff, man. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, RIP
it's
Blockbuster.
It's truly the end of an era.
I'm gonna pour out some of my Girl Scout 40-ounce Thin Mint, or just Dr. Pebble on the ground. We will remember you, homie.
Dun, dun, dun. Oh.
All right. So that's what's been going on in Texas. Let's talk about music for a second. All right. I mentioned...
Music?
Yes.
Snarky Puppy.
All right. We are way over on this podcast. Sorry, guys. We're already at 38 minutes, and we're not close to being done. But it's fun. It's fun. So when you say Texas music, what do you think of? Willie Nelson. Yeah, you know.
George Strait.
You think
country and Southern rock.
But Texas music is going through a renaissance right now. And as I was looking into these Grammy winners, trying to find something to share with you guys, I found this artist. And I was like, you know, not my style of music, but fun. fun nonetheless, all right? Her name is Jasmia Horn. She is a jazz singer born in Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
And, Shout out.
Trained at a, you know, a school there. I think Booker T. Washington School for, let me see this. So she was born in Dallas, trained, I think, at Booker T. Washington School for the Performing Arts. So they have like a specialty magnet school up there. Went away, won some big competitions. She's in her 20s. She got to perform this year at the Grammys. I think this was the stuff before it went on TV, although I didn't watch the whole thing. And her album, A Social Call, was nominated for Best Jazz Vocal Album. So that's a little better than like Best Engineering on a Classical Jazz Composition.
Why
solo
you gotta
or
diss
duo.
The Pittsburgh Harmony?
Yeah, I know, right? Why don't I want to talk trash on the Pittsburgh Orchestra? Harmony? What?
Harmonic?
Harmonic. Yeah, that would. Boston Pops.
Boston Philharmonic.
Philharmonic. Philharmonic. That's the word I was looking for.
Who's right. Phil? Just kidding.
So here is her song, Tight. And truly, I didn't even know we still made music like this, but there's an audience for it and the people love it. So I give you Jasmia Horn, Tight. Diddly, waddle, waddle, swift, biddly, diddle, 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 I don't know where my man is, where can he be? What is he doing? I've been asking questions all over town, hoping to be found. I'm on the loose, I don't dig it. Take my advice, girls. If you find a man, hold on tight. Don't let him, don't let him, don't let him, don't let him. Hold on to him tight, don't let him go. It froze. You guys need to go and look it up. Jasmia Horn, A Social Call is the album. I haven't listened to the whole album, but you know, like I could jam that. If
I actually like this kind of music.
It was pretty tight.
I have this.
Me.
Oh, pun game strong.
What'd you say?
It was pretty tight.
She's bringing that pun game. That's all.
I actually like this kind of music. I really do. I listen to some of this occasionally.
Oh, well, there you go.
And I get into it. It's got a good feel.
It
jazz.
Pairs well with Mr. Pibb. So you can drink a Mr. Pibb on your back porch.
Or Dr. Pebble.
While I'm editing photos, at times this works.
Yeah, no, this is good because you can kind of
It's got a good feel.
It's good background music.
Yeah,
not
fun.
To insult it,
it was
but
nice.
It's good background music.
I mean, I think it's a cool, like, fun, peppy song that you didn't expect.
So it's neat to know that there's Texans still making that kind of music because you hear that and you go, that's a recording from the 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
But nope.
Well, you know, but our Texas swing style came out of the roots of stuff like this because you can feel
that
swing in there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's part of our root.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Cool. So go and look her up, a Texan, support her music if you're into that kind of thing. Awesome. And we're going straight to questions from the back seat.
Are we there yet? Hey, can you pass me the snacks? When are we going to stop? I gotta go.
Hit it. Lindsay, you got questions for us? Go.
Questions? Yes. I have some good questions here from our social media. So, dear goodness, I'm going to butcher this. Yosef Cifuentes.
Cool name.
From Edinburgh, Texas.
All right.
Asks, what is your favorite public art in Texas?
Ooh.
I like that question.
That's a great question.
Keeping it classy up in here.
Man, we've already talked about the jackalope mural on the back of our building, which I do like that.
Pretty far up there.
I think truly my favorite public art piece are the giant robots in Deep Ellum, Dallas.
Those are cool.
Those are awesome. I love those.
Yeah.
They're like 20 or 30 feet tall, silver robots like they're out of a 1950s science fiction movie.
In fact, the main image from the Dallas episode up on the website and on PBS is you sitting on one of those robots.
Yeah, it's been on our calendar.
Yep.
All over the place.
The Deep Ellum's got a lot of good public art, a lot of good murals, but I think
that's great.
Is my favorite sculpture because you can interact with it. You can walk around it. It's fun.
Speaking of public art, you want to hear a sad story?
Sure.
Public art in Austin, Texas, Hope Gallery, famous graffiti park, going away.
I'm so sad.
They are tearing that down and moving that effort somewhere else.
Well, you know, that didn't exist when I was. It's not like it's that old. It didn't exist when I lived down there.
But still, it sprung up. It used to actually be like art installations, but now it's mostly just like graffiti.
Yeah.
Well, it's been turned into like Cadillac Ranch.
Just totally spray paint. Everybody spray paints over the other guy's art.
Yeah, so it'll be like a beautiful
picture.
But the
Hope Gallery
and
group
name.
Actually coordinated who got to paint over when and what and coordinated the whole effort.
Really?
Yeah, but anyway.
That's sad. That is sad.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Good question, Yosef.
All right. So Lydia Perkins Harkey said, will your kids aspire to do a show for kids?
Ooh. Now, that'd be cool. We have a lot of kid viewers.
Kid Tripper.
We have Kid Tripper. Now, we do have a lot of kids who watch the show who mimic me running across the sign, things like that. My son wants to be the next day tripper.
That's
so
awesome.
So he, you know, like that could float. I mean, that boat could float. That dog could hunt.
So stay tuned.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
No one says that boat could float, do they?
I like that better than that dog could hunt.
Yeah. What? That boat will float.
Dogs do more than hunt.
I just said that. That's going to be the new phrase.
I say we should just start homeschooling him now and take him on the road.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or that Coke will
he
float.
He will learn very much about barbecue and very little about math.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's
all right.
Texas education.
Yeah,
I think that's
right.
All you
I guess
need.
So.
Okay, now I know this is going to be a hard question, okay? But I just want you to, like, you know, try to stamp
all right,
through it.
Go to an inner place.
Katie Hill said, if you had to leave Texas, which state would you choose?
Like,
I know what Jet's
going to
be saying.
So I guess just, like,
permanently or to
imagine
visit?
That Texas completely died because Dr. Pepper was sold to a Yankee and you had to move somewhere else. Like, it just exploded. Where would you choose?
It exploded. Man. First, I would cry. I would, like, okay, to live, or you think to make a show about?
To live.
To live.
Okay.
I'm just guessing.
Colorado.
I know.
Colorado.
Colorado tripper?
Yeah, it'd be Colorado. But, you know, I think Colorado. Mountains, lot of adventure.
I was going to guess there or North Carolina.
I like North Carolina. I do like North Carolina. Good
you mean
folks
you
in North Carolina.
California
not the kind
or
of
Oklahoma?
Mountains, though. North Carolina is well. North Carolina has a lot of adventure. I do North Carolina, but I'd go Colorado.
Okay.
So
Rocky
not,
Mountains, the West.
Not Oklahoma or California.
Oh, how dare you even say
how dare
these
you
things.
Say Oklahoma?
No, I like California. I do like California, but yeah, Oklahoma. Lindsay, you're back down to special guest. Sorry.
Well, at least I'm still
Todd,
special.
Todd got his co-host job back.
Thank you.
It's getting really intense.
Even I know
this
that.
Podcast, guys.
All right, that's a good question, though. There's a lot to be said about New Mexico. I really like New Mexico.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to be said about Louisiana. I really like Louisiana.
They got
Louisiana, really?
Louisiana, come on, man. No, Louisiana's cool. It's like Cajun, good food. The food's not great in Colorado. That's the only problem. Food's great in Louisiana.
True.
Yes, it is.
But you gotta like that swampy stuff, you know?
And that smell.
And mosquitoes.
Yeah, yeah, but that's where I grew up, so it's kind of second nature to me. I feel like moving back home if I moved to Louisiana. Because down in like the Golden Triangle, it's as much Louisiana as it is Texas. All those Cajuns everywhere, we eat crawfish all the time. It's fun.
That sounds good.
All right. Well, those are great questions. Y'all keep them coming. podcast@thedaytripper.com or just chime in on social media. Lindsay will hunt you down. She'll find it.
Oh, I'm looking.
All right, but the people have been doing more than just asking questions.
Hey, Day Tripper, I got a bone to pick with you.
Oh, my goodness, it's the Day Tripper. We love your show.
All right. What do the masses think, Lindsay? What's happening over
there? All right,
there?
We have some pretty good rants, but also compliments.
Uh-huh.
This time. So I'm going to start with a fun rant that we got emailed from D. Brent Hay. We used to enjoy watching the show. It gave us glimpses into the many facets of our home state. However, after viewing your Glen Rose episode, I can no longer watch your show or support it being on public television. You cannot treat religious beliefs and lies fabricated to justify spiritual beliefs as facts. For the show to have represented these religious beliefs as valid alternatives to scientific fact was shameful, and this is the best part. The earth is not flat, left-handed people are not going to hell, and dinosaurs and humans did not coexist. Dun, 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 dun. I mean, I'm glad to hear that lefties
you know,
aren't going
when
to hell.
You did that episode, exciting. We knew it was going to get
a lot of flack. I can tell you right away that if you represent a conservative viewpoint, you're hitting a hot button for a lot of PBS mm-hmm. viewers, right?
Oh, yeah.
And the stereotypes about PBS viewers aren't all true, but there's certainly the very liberal people out there.
They're the left side of society. Left side,
and that's, you know, that's okay. Yep. We like all of them. We like all of them. Lindsay, this isn't the first time I read this because I read this and I hit him back.
Mm-hmm.
And he and I probably went back and forth on email about four times. He even roped in the general manager of KLRU on the
That's very
thread.
Fun. Super fun.
And Bill and I have a great relationship, so that didn't bother me at all. But I was basically saying, hey, if you want to write this is when we went to the Creation Museum. And there's a guy who has theories that people and dinosaurs did coexist, and he's got footprints in rock. One's a human, clearly, and one's a dinosaur. And the question is, how did those get there?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have an answer. He doesn't have an answer. The science doesn't have an answer. So it remains a really cool mystery. So I went and I talked about it. And basically gave him an open platform to pitch his ideas. If you go watch it again, I did not support them per se, but I said, listen, if we're in a search for truth, we got to figure out where this goes within our framework of truth, right? How did a human and a dinosaur footprint end up side by side? I don't know. Maybe it was carved. Okay, if you believe it's fake, then prove it's fake. Well, they've tried. They can't. So what do we do with that? And that's basically where I left it. Like, how do we figure that out?
Mm-hmm.
And that angered him a lot. And so I said, hey, man, I showed it just as a great day trip or destination, because I think it is, you know, any place where we can expand our knowledge and understanding of the world and our history. And that's, you know, like, as I said, what's your thoughts? How did it get there? Well, I don't know. But blah, 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 you know, a lot of finger shaking.
You didn't support it, but you also, we did end the episode with the promise play.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, it's.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, I mean, I am a Christian, and the promise play, whether you're a Christian or not, is an amazing show.
I agree.
So, you know, I would have done the same thing at a Bigfoot museum, right? This guy's got evidence Bigfoot exists. How do we prove that wrong scientifically?
You dress up Richie and make him run around.
You know? Yeah. Dress him up and make him run around. So, you know, I like all this stuff. You go to Roswell, you go to an alien museum, which I would totally do on the day tripper.
Marfa lights.
How do you assimilate this stuff? You know, you take all these ghost stories or reports of the abnormal, and you don't have to go in and believe it, but don't immediately assume it's all fake. Mm-hmm. You know, go in and say, okay, I'm going to hear it, and I'm going to figure out how this fits into my framework of the world, right? So he and I went back and forth. He was upset that I even gave this guy a platform to talk. I think we settled our deals. We said we need to grab a beer together. Whether that happened.
Good. Yeah. That's good.
That's how we settled
stuff. That's a good
stuff.
Ending
that's
to
how
the
we
story.
but, yeah. Anyway, I think he'll watch the show again. He was just pretty fired up. He apologized, too, eventually.
Oh,
all
right. I just really like that last sentence.
I know, right?
He put a lot of thought into that.
That goes down as one of our best viewer quotes right there.
Pretty great, yeah.
All right, hit me up. What else?
All right, so I'm going to keep it going with the rants here. My wife and I are fans of the travel, food, entertainment, events, and venues, natured opportunities, and activities. So it starts out great.
Cool.
But we have a hard time even watching your show because of your insistence on taking so much time to try to be a comedian. The costumes, impersonations, fake monsters, and other silliness usually doesn't work. It's boring. Please cut out about 90% of it. In the meantime, we'll try to keep watching. Bob Byers.
Oh, Bob, you don't hate it enough to stop watching, so I guess we'll keep doing it. We get that a lot, you know, and I've always said, like, listen, I'm making a show that I want to make. You know, we're making a show that we want to make. And yeah, it gets silly sometimes, but there's a lot of people making really boring travel shows too. So there's plenty of them.
Never mind. I was gonna name some, but I'm not.
But there's a lot of people who want to do that very, you know, just the facts, ma'am, travel show.
Mm-hmm.
And
like your impression of Chet Steves.
Yeah,
my fave. You know, Rick Steves. I love Rick Steves. I do too. Rick Steves.
You know, but he's not gonna dress as Bigfoot and run around.
I wish he
like,
would.
Like, I know. Mean, wouldn't I? I'd pay money to see that.
No, he'll just light up and chill.
Yeah. That's true.
Don't speak of Rick Steves.
But you know that is, you know, Bob. We're just not the show for you, man. Sorry. Keep moving.
Or we are about 10% of the time, but the other 90%.
Yeah, 10%. Nah. Just find the 10% you want. You don't have to watch that.
Fast forward. Yep. It's fine. Okay, so I'm going to end with a nice, happy, like for every,
let's do
you
it.
Know, for every rant we get, there's always tons of people saying really nice things.
That's
so,
true.
Kathy Wright from Round Rock says, "This is the most awesome show. Thanks, Chet, for all the experiences. Your trip on Padre Island National Seashore, the whole island trip, is a trip I hope to take someday soon."
Awesome. Kathy, go do it. It's right down the road. It's magical. I want to go back and do that whole drive again. It was awesome.
That looks cool, yeah.
It was absolutely awesome. Blew me away. So I'm glad that watching the show, I think we captured some of that adventure in the show. So that's great. Well, very cool. Anything else?
That is all we got.
That's all we got. Well, guys, that was a very long podcast. Thanks for sticking with us. If you have, most of y'all probably turned it off because you got finished going wherever you were going. But thanks to the sponsor, the City of Georgetown. Y'all come on out. Check out all that Georgetown has going on. The Day Tripper General Store is, of course, up and active. We got a lot of new shirts on there. And we're going to keep releasing new products. So, you know, support us. Join Team Day Tripper. You get to watch a lot of back episodes.
Do it.
It's a good deal, and we send you free stuff from time to time. Yeah. Join us next time as we are talking behind the scenes for our February episodes. So Sweetwater, Round Top, and Jacksonville all coming up to your screen very soon. Check it out. Watch it. Tune in. And be safe out there, folks. Vaya con Dios, amigos.
Bye.
Adios.